I would like to welcome everyone to another episode of Shypedia Podcast on WGN Plus. I'm your host, Marshall Lyles, and on the line with me, I have Dr. Ruben Rutland. He is one of the owners of the only Black-owned urgent care business in Chicago, and I know a lot of you guys may have heard about this business, but this is just outstanding. This is great for our community. I would love to welcome you to my podcast. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Rutland.
Thank you so much, Marshall. It's great to be here.
And, you know, it's so funny because as we got on the phone and we realized we're only a few blocks away from each other, so we actually could have met up for a coffee or a donut or something. But I don't drink or eat either one. So,
well, you know what that means? That means the next time that we do the second podcast, then we'll do it face to face.
Okay. That sounds like a great plan, because I know that you guys are going to have some more things that we need to get out there into the community so people will know.
Right.
And we need to get the lines wrapped around a building. Not that it's not already, but okay.
Right.
Well, tell me about this urgent care. This is Premier Health Urgent Care located in Hyde Park. That's 47th Street. How did this come about?
So, Three doctors actually decided to join together. Myself, Dr. Mike McGee, as well as Dr. Aaron Richardson. And what Dr. Richardson and Dr. McGee are emergency room physicians. I'm a trauma surgeon. And the opportunity came that some land became available to build an urgent care. It's something that we've talked about for the past couple of years, but, you know, didn't see a good market to get into it. And the opportunity became available, and the forces just lined up right. We decided that we wanted to move forward with it. Everything we do with our urgent care, so one big thing about all three of us is whatever we do, we believe in giving back to the community. Dr. McGee and myself actually started an organization called POP, Project Outreach and Prevention, that's kind of over here in Gary, as in Chicago. And what we do is with that organization, we go in and we do mentoring to kids, go into the juvenile system about making better career choices. So when we decided to do the urgent care, what we said is, you know, since giving back is like really a passion of ours, part of the proceeds from the urgent care are always going to go back towards an anti-violence program, particularly a POP, the program that's through the POP Foundation, where we go back into the community and we talk to kids. You may come by the urgent care, and you may see some high school students shadowing the doctors. You know, we're really big on shadowing, because they can't be if they can't see. You know, so that's like one of our passions. So we come to the urgent care, and you feel like, man, that kid looks really young. He's probably a high school student that we've taken up under our wings to show, hey, this is what it's like to be a doctor, the good, the bad, the ugly.
You know, Dr. Rutland, you know, you said you can't be what you can't see, and that quote kind of sounds familiar. If I didn't know any better, you were, that sounds like you can only be what you see, if I have that right, but that sounds like
right.
100 Black Men. Are you?
Well, Mike McGee is a member of 100 Black Men in Chicago. I was a member of 100 Black Men of Greater South Bend, and when I lived in the South Bend area. I did not get with the 100 Black Men chapter over here in Chicago yet. It's really starting a new business, being a dad with young kids, as well as having Project Outreach and Prevention. You know, your time, you can only do so much.
And
as my chief told me one time, we was having a lot of functions where we were doing mentoring, and then my son's like, well, hey, Dad, what about me? And I said, you know what? So you got to start at home mentoring your own kids. So.
Yes, absolutely. That is very important. A lot of times, you know, people like to get out into the communities, but then sometimes their home front is suffering. So I definitely understand that. And you're just one man, but you're doing a whole lot. And we appreciate what you can do.
Thank you.
and so with this first Black-owned business, when did the doors officially open?
We opened up at the end of October of last year.
Okay.
Yeah, the idea, we it actually kind of moved kind of quick. It's something that, you know how just friends sit around and talk. It's something that you kind of sit around and talk about. Uh-huh. Oh, man, we should do this, we should do that. And, you know, sometimes it comes to something, sometimes it's nothing. We were talking around this one time, the opportunity, Dr. Primus had some land, I mean, some room available in the building that he owns, and we just said, let's do it. So we probably started everything around April of May of 2018, and we were actually able to get the doors open by the end of October.
Wow.
And that's when we started our first patient, end of October.
Wow. And how has business been going so far?
Business is getting better. We're getting more and more patients every week. You know, one of the things that we're really trying to do for the public is trying to see what are the best hours for urgent care in that neighborhood. And when we started doing some research and just talking to different patients, you know, they prefer more hours later in the day, mm-hmm. as well as some hours on the weekend. So
yes.
We've actually heard that, and we are actually planning to starting this summer. We're going to start having later hours as well as weekend hours.
Yeah, that is very beneficial and helpful for us patients sometimes, you know, and you have children and you're working all day. And of course, it's so convenient that your child is sick when you get off work and you don't have many. And, I have a son and it seems like he always gets sick on Fridays after school. So, you know, Saturday mm-hmm. and Sunday, you know, you don't have much of an option. And who wants to sit inside of the emergency room all weekend?
And that was a big thing, you know. Sometimes you move into a community as urgent care. Some of the primary care doctors think that, are they trying to take patients away from us or emergency room? I think the closest emergency room to us is about 20 minutes away. They're trying to take patients, and what we're saying is we're not trying to take patients from anybody. You know, it's just a need.
Yes,
think about it. In this age, you're working. You're a professional. You're
Absolutely.
Working. You know, and you get the sniffles.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just they're not going away. There's enough where you're starting to kind of, you know, call off work, and you're not getting it. You need to be seen by a professional.
Right.
The stories we hear so many times. You call your primary care physician. Oh, okay, Dr. So-and-so will be happy to see you, and you get an appointment 3 weeks away.
Right.
And you feel like, okay, that's useless.
Right.
And then you say, okay, well, I'll go to the emergency department. When you go to the emergency department, you're going to be in a waiting room for about 3 hours. Then
yes.
you're going to go back. And then you're going to go back. And they're busy. And so, and trust me, you know, I'm a trauma surgeon, so I know when trauma comes in, that takes precedence, and we kind of take up. So now you're back there about 5 hours. So that's 8 hours out of your day mm-hmm. for the sniffles.
Yeah.
When you could come to
for
an emergency
sniffles.
Room,
uh-huh.
you can come to an urgent care and you can be seen in 15 minutes and on your way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. You know, and thank God for urgent care, you know, for premier urgent care, you know, and it's not just only for African Americans, just because it's the first Black-owned urgent care center, it does not mean that it's just for us. It's just that is
no.
Our
we don't pay attention to color mm-hmm. and sex and all that type of stuff. We see everybody. You know, we really believe in the tenets of healthcare. You know, it's just to go out and help and, you know, just help your community to strive for better health. And so we see Black, white, red, blue, green, whatever
you
it comes.
You do not discriminate.
No judgment. No judgment in sexual orientation. None of that. You're more than welcome. And you come in, and you're gonna feel like family.
Right. Okay. So that pretty much, you know, answers the question of why it was really, you know, it sort of answers the question, but why this is a big thing for us to own something, you know. It really sets the example to our youth, you know, as you are dealing with the POP program. And it sets the example that we can do these type of things.
You know, it really does. You know, I'm not originally from Chicago, but as I hear more about the Chicago history, particularly the Bronzeville area, which is right by Hyde Park, is our area. Mm-hmm. That was a very thriving,
yes,
well-to-do African-American community when most African-Americans really didn't have much of anything.
Right.
And it's just, we can own stuff, So one of the things, now you got me off on my tangents, but this is the stuff I kind of love, too. But one of the things I've always, you always see, you have these hip-hop stars or the reality stars get on TV and they want to show you all their bling bling and the cars and the houses and everything that puts you in debt, just that you try to live up to be like them, and you're going in debt doing it. But they don't talk about the business side or how you get a business and do things like that. That's why one of the things, I can't remember the gentleman's name that was at Morehouse, the billionaire that just paid off,
yes,
the college student loan.
Yes, I don't remember his name. Yes.
Yeah. Why can't you make, it's the same rap you make with your cars, your money, your whatever. Why can't you make that same rap like, hey, I'm sending people to college. What you doing?
Right.
Yes. I'm helping these people start a business from scratch. Now, how about you? I'm giving back, and you got to give back. You got to give back. We were watching, my family and I was watching Blackish the other day,
uh-huh,
and it was just sad. It was just saying that, most other racial groups, their differences are kind of celebrated. Like you have Chinatown, or you have Little Italy, you have things like that. But when you have the black section of the community, they always want to say it's negative. Even if it's a prosperous black section, it always has a negative connotation.
Right. Yeah, it does. And you made a really good point, is you have to give back, and you're really setting an example right now.
Right.
Like your saying is, you can't be what you can't see. And that's the downfall with a lot of communities, and myself, I'm not from Chicago either, but I do know that a lot of children out there, they're not exposed to a lot of things outside their five-block radius,
That's true.
They don't see much. So all they know is, maybe the crime or just the everyday thing that you may see, mm-hmm, on the news, that people, that stigma is still there,
Right. So, right. And one of the things I always say, if I didn't live around my community, if I just looked at us on the news, I'd be scared of us, too.
Yes, right?
Because they just pick the worst people and put on there, and they make it seem like it's everybody.
Right.
And that's not the reality. That's not the reality that I see.
No,
So.
And I've learned from, I'm glad that, I was exposed to going to the school. And we've talked about the schools. We have a, mm-hmm, few things in common, but I'm grateful that I went to the school, the high school that I did, and just having, mm-hmm, the experience of living on campus and going off to college, and it was sort of a culture shock, leaving school. So you learn that early on, and once you get into the professional world, you start to know how to mix with other people, and you know how to communicate, and you show them that what you see on TV is not who I am. That's not exactly.
True. And that's the same. And that's the same thing I've seen. I've been in the military as well as when I did my residency up in Connecticut. It wasn't many of people who looked like me. I used to always make the joke and say it looks like pepper and grits around here. So.
a sprinkle of pepper.
There's not many of us around, and I'm a friendly person, so I make friends of all races and cultures, and you could just tell some people are. I'm probably the first black friend that they just had this kind of close, and some of them ask questions. This one lady, she was an older nurse at the hospital. It was crazy, and we were just talking about different cultures. And so she said, no joke, she said, well, I just understand because of African-Americans and their skin, that they don't take showers every day, that they may take showers like once every 2 weeks. And I was like, what?
Oh, wow.
I said, no. I said, I don't know anybody that takes a shower every 2 weeks. Everybody I know takes a shower every day. Now, you may not wash your hair.
Right. Yeah. Now, that's true.
You're washing your hair every day, but you're going to take a shower every day, or you will be talked about.
Wow. Yeah. You know, and that's a good point. There's a lot of misunderstanding with all of us, and we learn a lot. We're all different. And we have to bring it, we have to come together to understand those differences. So it is important for your kids to become exposed, and you know, they can one day become a doctor. They don't have only just the athletes and the rappers to look up to. And just a little bit of history about yourself, please explain to my audience how you became a trauma, what led you up to this point to becoming a trauma surgeon.
Okay. I went to graduated from Emerson and Gary from high school, went to Tennessee State University, biology major. Shout out to the Tigers. Pledged the best fraternity on the planet Earth, Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated.
Okay.
Went on to Meharry Medical School. And let me stop here because this is one of the questions I always, when we're talking to the kids in the mentoring group, and when I'm first talking about Meharry, I asked them, you know, have you ever heard of Meharry? And most people, a lot of kids have, and some have. But Meharry is a HBCU, historically Black college and university. It was started in 1865 by former slaves.
Wow.
Okay. So the reason I say that, I talked to the kids and said, listen, if former slaves that had nothing can make a medical school, and it became medical, dental, pharmacy, nursing, and graduate school. If they can do all of that, and up until really the late 70s, 70 to 80% of the African Americans went to professional school, which is medical, dental school, graduated from Meharry.
Wow.
Former slaves did that, and they came from nothing. All that we have today, we should be able to do so much more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my spiel on that.
Yeah.
After Meharry, the military paid for med school, so I served my country in the United States Navy. I was stationed with the 3rd Marine Regiment as a battalion surgeon, and had a great time in the military. I got to shoot a lot of weapons. I got to learn how to jump out of fast rope out of a helicopter.
Oh my gosh.
I learned jungle warfare training, which oh my God, it was miserable going through it, but it was great when you look back on it because it was hilarious.
Wow.
We got so hungry, we saw a snake. We were so hungry, I thought we saw a snake, we trapped the snake and ate it. But
you would be perfect on survival then on one of those TV shows.
No, not anymore.
Naked and afraid, huh?
I've got soft now compared to that life. But now, once I got the military, I did a residency in general surgery. And general surgery, when I started, I thought I was really going to be a colorectal surgeon because they have a really good lifestyle, usually work, 8 to 5, usually have the weekends off, you know, very few colorectal emergencies.
Wow.
And trauma was actually the career path I was afraid of. You know, because trauma, you have to make quick decisions. You have to trust your gut because you might not have all the information, but you have to make pretty much life-changing decisions sometimes.
Yeah.
And I was afraid of it. And as a second-year resident, they have you where you're the first person to receive the trauma patient. So when they first come busting through the doors, you have to be the first doctor in there, and you have to start kind of calling the shots. And they're training you how to do it. And I fell in love with it. I was just like, at first I was from afraid to, okay, I can do this, to
that
I
adrenaline,
actually like this.
That adrenaline kicked in, huh?
Yeah. Yes, I actually like it. And so I went on and did my I did a trauma fellowship and surgical critical care fellowship, as well as a postdoc fellowship at Yale in vascular. And the rest is history. I'm a trauma surgeon.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, that's a great story. You've conquered your fears, you know.
Oh, yeah.
One thing that you were afraid of is the main what you're doing now. So that's amazing.
Exactly.
Wow. Wow. Wonderful story. And now we're looking at one of the owners of Premier Urgent Care in Hyde Park on 47th Street. And what's some more information that you can give us about this location and the hours currently and how to go about, you know, what we need to get through the door?
Well, currently our hours are 10 to 7. Mm-hmm. You can give us a phone call. The number is 773-891-2890. Again, 773-891-2890. If you want to check out the website, it's premierucchicago.com. All one word. And you can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. You know, we're trying to come where you are. Right now, we have the 10 to 7 hours for the weekdays. In June, we're going to start going to our weekends. We're going to have Saturday and Sunday hours. We're trying to see what's going to be the most beneficial to have the hours. We don't want to have if Sunday during the day is not going to be good because everybody's at church
right?
Then we might need to open up in the afternoon. So we are actually right now in the process of trying to figure out what's going to be those days.
All right. And possibly in the future, you guys may look into expanding, you know,
that's definitely part of the future. So we want to expand to have different urgent cares around the city. Again, one thing that's kind of really big on that list is giving back. So we want to have we're going to have an area that's going to be probably in a more lower income area at some point. And we know that's not going to be a big cash center. It's uh-huh. going to be something that we may end up losing a little bit of funds on.
Right.
But if we can afford to just lose a little bit where we can kind of help out the community, then we're trying to do it. Right now, we can't do it because if we lose, then there's nothing.
Right.
there's nothing to go.
What can we do to help?
Well, when you need an urgent care, you can come to Premier. And when you come to Premier, if you're into volunteering and helping out and giving back to the community, you can let someone know, tell them that, you know, get you in contact with Mike and I, who run POP. And, you know, we'll do a background check because we are working with kids and we don't want ever have any type of negative image with us. So if you got to be able to pass a background check. And we'll be working with kids. And, you know, just be there. And if you don't have to come to Premier, just go back into your community and just help out.
Yes.
You know, one thing, and just support businesses in your community, support minority businesses, you know. That's the best thing I can say. You know, it's your community. And if you go out, if you always leave your community to go get things done, then there is no purpose of building up your community,
right?
Because everybody's leaving. Mm-hmm. But if you stay in your community and you want to get things done, then that's how things come to your community.
Absolutely, absolutely. And POP, let's tell everyone about this program and ways that they can help out with that possibly. Once again, this is the project outreach program that you work with the juvenile system in mentoring.
Right. So we have two websites for POP. It's nwipop.org or chipop.org. And NWI is usually the people over in Northwest Indiana are using that one. Okay. Shy POP is usually Chicago, obviously. And what we do is we mentor high school students. We bring them into the hospital. We have suture workshops. Hey, this is what it's like to be a suture. We have to do a class called Stop the Bleed. You know, now when we go around, we ask, you know, how many people in here know someone or seen someone get shot? And we're in an auditorium full of people, and about 90% of the hands go mm-hmm. up, maybe even more. And so on the trauma side, there's a nationwide campaign. You know, I think about 10 to 15 years ago, on the medical side, they were going out and saying everybody in the world needs to know how to do CPR.
Wow, yes.
On the trauma side, we do Stop the Bleed. So one of the campaigns we do is you come across somebody that's bleeding or a loved one that's bleeding, this is what you do until an ambulance can get there. So we teach kids that. They love that type of stuff. We usually have something on Martin Luther King Day, and particularly over here in Gary, we'll have a trauma code. So now we have an imaginary patient come in. They have to, from what they learn throughout the day, how to run a trauma code. So, okay, this patient is coming in. What are you going to do? What do you got to get ready? What do you got to put on? Wow. You know, what are you expecting to go on? And they love that type of stuff. And those are things that, you know, we want to show medicine is fun. Yes, yeah. Dude, you got to put the hard work in. You got to do the hard work and the studying. And yes, it's going to be a lot of parties that you don't go to in college. But I still went to a lot of parties when I was in college. It's not just you got to be in the books 100% of the time, you got to learn how to balance your time.
It's rewarding. This is rewarding.
And then this is a career you can go in. Mm-hmm. One thing that we do with POP, and actually this may be something that you may be able to help us out with, is since we are all in the healthcare field, POP has a very big healthcare focus for kids that want to go into healthcare for the future. But what we want to say, everybody doesn't want to be a doctor. Everybody doesn't want to be a nurse. But we need to get other professionals in here and say, this is what it's like to be a journalist. This is what it's like to start your podcast. Everybody thinks it's easy. You just start recording people.
You just
record. It takes work.
Yes.
It takes work to go into it.
Yes.
It goes into it. And, you know, and we want to get some lawyers and just get different – this one guy is a barber that I talked to, and he was like, he would love doing something like this. Different people want to go in different careers, but we have to say there's different ways to make money. Mm-hmm. You can make money illegally where you're looking over your shoulder every time and, you know, and deal with that lifestyle. Or it's slower, but you can make money. You can make money and be comfortable and don't have to worry about somebody coming back trying to do something negative to you, you know, and looking over your shoulder all the time, looking for the police, looking for this person whose turf that you're on.
Yes, yes. You know, that all goes back to the biblical lifestyle, you know, or spirit. Mm-hmm. If you look at it spiritually, you know, when you do things, you reap what you sow. So patience is the key word, you know. If you want it, you're going to have to be disciplined and you're going to have to be patient. And then the reward will be at the end. Nothing that comes fast is going to be worth it.
Exactly. That's one of the things I tell the kids all the time too. I said, listen, you know, you're not going to be a genius to go to medical school. I mean, because trust me, I know some. I'm just joking. But the typical student that gets through medical school is the student that can say, you know what, I have 30 pages to read tonight, and I have, but there's a party. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm not going to the party this week. I'll go to a party next week because I got to get this done.
Yes.
If you have that type of personality and you can say, you know, I'm going to get the work done, then right there, you're halfway through medical school.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and before you know it, school will be over, you know.
Exactly.
When we're younger, it seems like time goes so slow, and you're thinking like, oh my gosh, I have to do this for all these years of college. No, I don't have time for this. I just want to live my life and enjoy it. Before you know it, 4 to 6 years will be over with, and, you know, what do we have to show for it? Just a few parties, you know, so no.
Exactly. You know, when I was young, my mom used to tell me, it's your 20s. How much work you put in your 20s is how much you're going to relax in your 40s, 50s, and 60s. Now, you party in your 20s, then it's going to be a little bit more work that you're going to have to do in your 40s, 50s, and 60s that's going to have a comfortable lifestyle.
Yes, that is a good point. Shout out to Mom.
She was a teacher, though.
So. Okay. Well, you know, Gary, Indiana is just a hop, skip, and jump away from Chicago. It's not far away at all. We're basically like family, period. You know, and so... if whatever you guys have coming up in the future, whether it's here or there, then, you know, people can still come out to Gary, Indiana. And what do you have lined up? You said MLK Day was something, but is there anything?
We usually have MLK Day. It's usually at Methodist Hospital. We bring the high school students over here, and we do like a healthcare focus. what it's like to be a physician, do some suturing, do the kind of codes I was telling you about. IUN, and actually that's my next phone call, we usually have something during the summertime that we kind of get a little bit more extensive. So instead of it being one day, we do 1 week.
Okay.
And within that week, we have the dean of the medical school. We have someone from the admissions committee at the undergrad, and they talk to you. Okay, this is what it takes to get into undergrad. This is what you need. This is how you come to undergrad. Okay, this is how you apply for financial aid. The next person be the dean of the medical school. This is what we look for on your applications to get into medical school. See, I didn't have that when I was in high school. Somebody actually telling you, do this in college, and this is going to make you look so much better on your medical school application.
Wow.
You know, and someone saying financial aid. My wife, who finished school late, she just finished her nursing bachelor's last week. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is we come from different families, and my family was education 100%.
Yes.
And one thing that she always wanted to push is that, I mean, she's big on education too, but one thing that was pushed to her is, oh, don't go to education, it's too expensive. Just get out and get you a good job.
Wow.
And she wanted to go off to college. She wanted to be a nurse, you know, years ago, but her family pretty much discouraged her.
Yeah.
And so when you're an 18-year-old impressionable kid, if your parent says it's too expensive, then you just, okay, it's too expensive. That's for other people.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that she's really big on working with. It's like, you tell these kids you can afford it. Take out the loans.
Yes.
You know, take out the loans.
And there's plenty of financial aid. There's grants. There's a lot of things.
There's scholarships, financial aids, and everything. And, you know, one of the things that we see that's sad, and sometimes in that community, people would take out money for a loan for a car, but they won't take out money alone to get their kid an education.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't have to drive the flashiest car. You don't have to live in the biggest house.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's say, you know, I'm going to make that sacrifice, and that sacrifice may be so your kids can live better off than you and have it easier than you.
Yeah, and trust me, after you get a certain age, you start to look at life a whole lot differently. So what you do when you're younger will affect you when you get older, just like Mom said in so many words.
Yes.
So it's very important. It's very, very important, the decisions that you make early on. So these are good programs out there for everyone to get involved in to help make a difference. Just making a difference is what's important for all of us. So, I'll spread the word, you know. First off, we need to support Premier Urgent Care in Hyde Park on 47th Street. That's number one. We need to get involved, even if it's not with the POP program or foundation, then find another program or foundation that you can get involved with.
If it's not a foundation, you know, it's plenty of these kids who, unfortunately, they're in a situation where their parents aren't doing the responsible thing.
Right.
You know, maybe this could be a kid that you could say, you know what, I see my neighbor's son is home and nobody's there or something like that. You know what, I'm going to bring them over here and teach them how to, cut the grass or teach them how to do this and pretty much just, you know, just teach them that, hey, it's somebody that's looking out for you.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and there's another life out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dr. Rutland, I apologize for that.
No problem.
You've shared so much, a wealth of knowledge today. And I hope that this interview will change someone's life, because that's what the whole purpose is, and just to help out. And I definitely appreciate you and the other doctors, Mr. Mike McGee and Dr. Richardson.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be on here. You know, thank you so much. And like we said, this, you know, since we're so close, This is the first one, and unfortunately, we did it over the telephone, even though we're
absolutely
close together. The next one, we're going to do face-to-face.
That's right. There's no other way. That's it.
There you go. Face-to-face.
So definitely, and we'll have to work together. I know there's going to be other opportunities, but thank you once again. And, you know, next time I get the cough going on, I won't hesitate. I may have to go to Methodist. If I can't go to Methodist, then I have to check you guys out over at Premier. How about that?
That sounds good.
All righty. Thank you, Dr. Rutland.
All right. You think you're going to go on?
All righty. Shy P.